in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Broadcasting live from the greatest city in the world.
Austin, Texas, baby.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos?
You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
You see him with his kids. He's crying with his kids.
You gotta be careful.
Jordan Spieth came over, patted him all on the head and said, oh, later, my championship.
What do you guys say?
Out of here, cooch.
So, like my wife calls her thing her cooch. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
What?
That's the
so
term.
Whenever you say cooch, I'm like...
She got a cooch bag? Like, go to the store,
that's
like, the mall?
That's Gucci.
Oh, not a coochie bag. Okay.
Like her,
ha-ha, la-la.
Hoo-ha.
They have a lot of names for those things.
Cooch.
Cooch. They kept saying that all day long.
Cooch. I know. I'm like, whoa.
They were like, I feel sorry for her. Cooch. That's what they were saying.
B&E.
What's B&E?
Bucky Godbolt. Aaron Hogan. On the Horn. 104.9. AM 1260. And HornFM.com. With the Longhorns play and Austin talks sports.
Wake up, everybody. No more sleeping in bed. No more back thinking. Time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war, and poverty. Oh, teach a new way.
Better get them up, get them out. It is Tuesday, B&E on the Horn, Show of the People. Off we go on a blazing hot 25 July 2017. Mere 39 days to the start of the college football season. Inside a week to the start of Longhorn football camp. Plenty of football conversation as Tom Herman and his coaching staff continue to mop it up on the recruiting trail. We'll dive into that. Also, the Kyrie Irving situation in the NBA. Plenty of baseball. Plenty of football. Another soap opera drama in Cowboys camp with day one of practice this afternoon. We'll get to all of it on a hot Tuesday. 102 degrees today. Mostly sunny. Par for the course.
And I'm missing rain every day.
Yeah. And see these little storms rolling through. And I know a lot of folks in the listening area did get rain yesterday. I saw a couple of houses were caught on fire because of lightning in the area yesterday. But
well, I don't need that.
No, we didn't. Nary a drop at the...
It's 2 days in a row. I could see it. I could hear it. But I didn't get it. Not one drop of it. Good morning to the soldiers at Fort Hood, Texas. The soldiers in the state of Texas and all those that fight for us each and every day. Thank you for the great job you do. It is appreciated. Thank you very, very much.
No question. I could even almost hear my grass saying, please, please, come on, move over a little bit.
It is crunchy out there, man. Captain Crunch.
Captain Crunch, but all right. So, how was poker night? Before we get into the news of the day,
I did not go.
Oh, what?
No, I did not go. I played golf at Grey Rock yesterday, and the heat was, I don't know. There's maybe another two groups maybe on the course yesterday, as we teed off at 12:30.
What are you doing out here?
What are you doing out here? But I wore my floppy cap. I played, and no thanks. I just didn't have. I didn't have the. By the way. The poker game was up north, BK, and I would have had to get on Mopac on the way back at midnight.
That's the real reason. Don't make up his golf story. You just didn't want to deal with the construction on Mopac.
I'm serious. I did not want to come back being tired after playing golf at 12:30 and try to drive Mopac back up.
All the lanes around, right, at night? Because they do a lot of their work at night, and it's like it's treacherous. Treacherous.
I don't want to do that, man. I feel like I'm going to go off the edge of the cliff and go down into some hole. I'm just not going to do it.
All right, well,
I don't drink.
Well, yeah, you gave that up a while back. Nice job. But so no poker night, man. I was waiting on that update. But we'll get into all of it, the unlucky Whitehead story, what LeBron James would like to do to Kyrie Irving, according to Stephen A. Smith. But first, let's get you caught up, get the news of a Tuesday morning. Take it to the update desk we go. We will start with college football, and it's still 39 days and a few hours until Tom Herman and his staff coach their first game at Texas, but they continue to crush it on the recruiting trail. Yesterday, the top-rated wide receiver in the state of Texas, Brennan Eagles of Alief Taylor High, became the 14th commitment for the class of 2018 and its third wide receiver. He joins fellow Houston-area prospect Alvante Woodward and Kentucky speedster Rondale Moore. 6'3", 215-pound outside receiver, ranked as the fifth number five wide receiver in the country. And the number 29 overall prospect in the class of 2018 across the land, according to 24/7 Sports, he's ranked as a top three player in the state, according to Rivals. Now, speaking of Rivals, according to their rankings, Tom Herman and staff now have commitments from half of the state's top 10 prospects for the class of 2018, including the top-rated running back, wide receiver, cornerback, safety, and kicker. Not too bad before you coach your first game. to the Cowboys. Another day, another off-field incident involving America's team. Wide receiver Lucky Whitehead was released by the team yesterday, just hours after TMZ reported that there was a warrant out for his arrest in the state of Virginia. According to court records in Prince William County, Whitehead was arrested in West Virginia, in Virginia, charged with misdemeanor petty larceny on June 22nd. His agent says it was a case of mistaken identity. Whitehead's alleged arrest continues a bizarre offseason for the 25-year-old. Just 2 weeks ago, he was asked to pay $20,000 in ransom after his dog was kidnapped. Can't make this stuff up, could we? Cowboys have their first practice in Oxnard this afternoon. Texans, meanwhile, report to camp today at the Greenbrier in White Sulphur Springs, West Virginia. To baseball, where Jose Altuve added again last night for those first-place Astros. They opened up an interleague set in Philadelphia. Altuve had four hits for the second consecutive night and game, led an 18-hit attack for Houston. They crushed the Phillies 13-4. Altuve improved his AL best batting average to .365. He's hitting an astounding .507 in the month of July. And during a current 16-game hit streak, which is a career high, he's batting .528. Rangers, meantime, blanked by the crafty lefty Adam Conley last night. The Miami Marlins up in Arlington, 4-0. Giancarlo Stanton and hit home runs number 31 and 32 to move into a tie for the Major League lead. Round Rock, nice win last night at Fresno. Beat the Grizzlies 7-5. Jurickson and Profar, 3-for-4 with a home run. Express now head to Sacramento to open up a series. That game one tonight, 9:05, right here on the Horn. And that's the news.
That's the news. That's it.
And I predicted in my own head, which is normally where you would predict things.
Sure.
That by the time I got out of the update, there would be a text that says what this one does. No doubt Herman's recruiting well, but all those skill players are meaningless without some meat on both sides of the ball.
There's no meat out there. Don't worry about it. He'll get the meat when the meat comes.
I mean, I don't know.
He's getting these players. He's going to get the meat. When there's legitimate guys that he really wants, he'll go get them.
Well, I mean, it's impossible to downplay what this staff is doing. And I know if we had Tom Herman right here, he'd credit his staff as much as anybody. But, I mean, they haven't coached a game, and they have commitments from half of the top 10 players in the state.
Yes.
That's, I mean, that you can say that it's just recruiting, and these are 18-year-old kids or 17 that have never played a down of college football. And that's true. But, Buck, you know how recruiting works. You understand players win games. This is somewhat unprecedented. You know, Mack Brown didn't begin to be called Coach February until he
coached
a season.
And won some games.
And Ricky Williams won a Heisman Trophy.
Right.
And momentum built. Tom Herman is essentially, and when you look at what he's doing in the city of Houston, there's no doubt that there is a correlation to what he did in the city of Houston, all of the headlines he created as the coach of the Houston Cougars. This kid, Brennan Eagles, with a great name, by the way, out of A-Leaf, the A-Leaf area of Houston, A-Leaf Taylor. You know, this is one of the top receivers in the game. This is a guy that you project as a guy who's got an all conference caliber skill set. He's 6'3", 220, big time athlete. To go with two other receivers. I mean, yeah, they have to go get offensive and defensive linemen. I don't think there's any doubt about that. But I would assume people understand that Tom Herman knows that too. And there's still, this is 14 players. You have three wide receivers. You have two quarterbacks. You have a running back. You've got unbelievably skilled defensive backs, corners, and safeties in this class. A linebacker out of the state of Missouri. And I guess what I'm saying is give them time. Let's see what the class looks like when it's 25 or 26 players at the end of this.
Yeah, I mean,
it's a high level.
The thing about this is you're getting these guys before the season starts. And so when the season starts, and the big defensive and offensive linemen start coming out of the woodwork as they get, some of them get to be seniors, he will really have seen them really actually play in games and some things, and he'll get those guys too. Don't worry about it. If he's getting the what you call the specialty type of players, defensive backs, wide receivers, cornerbacks, he's going to get the big sluggos. They're going to come too.
Well, that's kind of what
I'm saying. And if they're not there, you don't just take people just to take them. There's no reason to do that for him.
Right, and they've got to add some beef to the line. I mean, there's no doubt about that. And it's hard not to be impressed with what this group's doing before they've ever coached a football game. Somehow, have created a vision and momentum. Got the locker rooms done. Tom Herman's getting stuff done. Now he's got to go coach football. That'll start on Monday. But if you start checking things off the list, you wanted to build recruiting momentum. They've certainly done that. And as you've seen this before, the snowball effect, the top players in the state understand that this is happening. And, yeah, there will be a natural, I want to go be a part of that.
Sure.
Happening. And we'll see. But no, the texter's right. I mean, there's nothing, he's not wrong, but something tells me if what I've seen from this staff so far through 8 months, when they turn their attention to the beef, they'll be able to recruit the beef. They've got to go get it.
Well, yeah. I mean, you just can't, like I said, you don't just take guys to take guys. And when they're there, if there's five of them, he's going to get three of them.
That's what it looks like.
You know?
But, and they may have to go out of state to find the offensive and defensive linemen.
And he can do that too.
I mean, they really may have to. I mean, that's the one thing we keep hearing from our recruiting analysts and experts. We don't cover that, but it's just not a great year for that in the state of Texas. It is a great year for skill players, and you know, two of the top receivers in the state, one out of the state of Kentucky, and then this secondary class. You know, DBU, when you're looking at Caden Stearns out of Cibolo, the big kid B.J. Foster out of Angleton, the safety. Jalen Green, who they got yesterday over the weekend out of Houston, the top corner in the state. I mean, that's getting work done. I mean, say it again. I mean, the number one, according to Rivals, running back, Keontae Ingram, wide receiver now in Brennan Eagles, cornerback in Jalen Green, safety in B.J. Foster, and kicker in your guy, Dicker the Kicker.
And Dicker the Kicker.
Dicker the Kicker.
Yeah. I mean, you grab that guy, he's going to be here for the next 4 years. I mean, he's got everything. It's just time for the season will come, and we'll see, and players will get better as seniors in high school or juniors in at their prospective high schools, and Tom Herman will get those guys too.
I mean, he's got the number four class in the country coming off of the worst three-season stretch in program history, and all the other schools in the top 10 are schools that are competing for or have been competing for titles over the last few years. And the first offensive or defensive lineman, according to 247 in the rankings, is number 13 in the state, a kid named Keandre Coburn, who just about everybody thinks Texas is going to get anyways. So you guys are saying it right there. I mean, the top 12 players in the state are not offensive or defensive linemen. You can't really get those guys if they're not there.
No,
you know?
You're not going to take them for the sake of taking. You can take some linemen and say, well, we got one from this place, but why do that when you know you're going to get the, he's looking to get the best players he can, and he's going to get the best players. You know, even James Franklin at Penn State very seldom. They'll go to Ohio, they'll go to Jersey, but they'll stay in the state of Pennsylvania mostly. James Franklin has to go out and get five players from different states as his top recruits. And on 1 year.
Yeah.
Remember how bad they were? They had a great year last year. Now he's got five of the top players in his recruiting group right now are from different states. You have to go. I mean, Tom Herman can go out of state and get. He can't probably wait to play USC and get to California and put up a good showing. And if there's a kid out there, they'll be interested in Texas.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, in addition to the top, you know, half of the top 10 in the state of Texas for 2018, the 2B seniors, he's also got a quarterback out of California. He's got the number, you know, to the top defensive player in the state of Missouri. He had the best defensive player in the state of Oklahoma. Of course, Lincoln Riley came in and flipped that switch, but they won't give up on that, I guarantee you.
Oh, no, that's down to the wire.
Yeah, that's that one. And, of course, the quarterback out of the state of Oklahoma, Casey Thompson. So two QBs and then half of the top 10 players in the state. And as BK said, the top rated offensive lineman at number 13 is a Texas lean. So point of what I said coming out of the update was, let's wait and see what this class looks like. If there are no offensive defensive linemen on it when they get to February and the first Wednesday in February, then it's open to criticism. What I'm seeing is they kind of are getting who they want at this point, and that speaks to again the momentum that they've created on the recruiting trail. So we'll talk plenty of Texas football 6 days out to the open of camp, and of course 6 days away when we start counting down the top 25 teams in college football with our Horn Top 25 coming up this coming Monday. It'll be number 25, and then, of course, 24, 23, all the way to number one. When it's all said and done, I think we'll hit Penn State along the way, I would imagine.
Oh, they're going to have a good year.
Yeah, they may have the best player in the state, in the country, in that running back, Saquon Barkley. We'll talk plenty of college football, as we always do. Also, Cowboys, what do you say about this Lucky Whitehead story? His agent says it wasn't him. I'm trying to figure this story out, but it doesn't matter. Lucky Whitehead released. Day one of training camp. That's not a good way to start. It's not a good way. You get to camp, and there's a warrant for your arrest, and the team has already drafted your replacement. I mean, let's say this honestly. Some will say the Cowboys acting swiftly to release Lucky Whitehead. He wasn't going to make the team. This guy wasn't.
I don't think so, no.
When they drafted Ryan Switzer out of North Carolina, there wasn't going to be room for Lucky Whitehead.
No.
Ryan Switzer was brought in as a fourth-round draft pick. He's going to be a slot receiver with Cole Beasley. He'll probably return punts, which is what Lucky Whitehead was doing.
Kickoffs, yes.
But really not a very smart thing to do for Lucky Whitehead.
If it's true, I mean, they're talking about that maybe it's not true. Well, you're on the short end of the stick anyway. You couldn't have this. This is something that just couldn't happen. Whether you were there or not, it just couldn't happen to you. Because you'd have got at least an opportunity probably at camp, but now You just give them an out. Just gave them an out. So now they've got their out, and then they can come back later and say, oh, it wasn't you. Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, sorry.
Sorry about that. But you're now gone.
You might want to change your name to Unlucky Whitehead.
Yes.
If that's the case. Yeah, his agent.
But if this is true, I mean, this is the Cowboys just do the dumbest things. They're players who are like players on the borderline of being professional players anyway. You know, like fourth and fifth round guys that are making $600,000, $700,000. Now what are you going to go do? I mean, it's if it's true.
Yeah, I mean, Whitehead was a specialty player anyway, but and kind of a depth guy. But according to his agent, David Rich, police never arrested the Cowboys receiver, which is why he didn't show up for a July 6th court date. He says it wasn't him. He actually provided evidence to ESPN of a plane ticket and a flight that he was on that, you know, he couldn't have even been in Virginia at the time of the alleged...
That's a damn shame.
...shoplifting. But, you know, either that or, you know, Lucky Whitehead's feeding bad information to his agent to help with his PR. Who knows? Cowboys cut him loose and...
But now I want to know this story now. I want to know if a guy was stealing like $200 worth of stuff at a convenience store, because I don't know how you can get $200 worth of anything from a convenience store.
What was he stealing, like Mrs. Baird's apple pies or something?
I don't know.
$200.
He makes almost $700,000. Why would you even put yourself in that kind of jeopardy? I mean, you're talking about a hood rat. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a hood rat now. Seriously, if you're making close to $1 million, and you're stealing $200 worth of stuff.
Yes.
That'd be like me walking, and I love the mayor of Cedar Valley, walking into Cedar Valley grocery store and coming out with $200 worth of ice cream somewhere hidden on me and them catching me in my car. I mean, what the hell was that about?
Dear, dear, dear. Yeah, the Cowboys are hopefully this we start talking some football and get it down to football. It's been all about Zeke Elliott, off-field issues.
It's every year with them, though. It's every preseason. It's like, okay, what are the Cowboys doing for the preseason? How many guys are going to jail?
I don't remember that much last year. I don't remember. Now, Greg Hardy the year before was a mess, and that whole thing was a joke.
Give me some, BK. Find something last year. You know some of those guys were in trouble. Had to be.
Well, the year before that was Joseph Randall.
Yes.
Not all that knucklehead stuff.
Oh, that's right. Perfume.
Dez Bryant, of course, has been in and out of trouble. But I think this is hopefully the focus comes around football and the leaders of the team take control of it, including Dak Prescott and Jason Witten.
It's just stupid things. Stupid things happen to them.
Or their players do stupid things.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, I mean, if Jason Garrett were here, he'd tell you we got, you know.
Are we trying to build a great support system around
that?
Well,
we got most of our 90% of our roster are doing the right things and the right
type
of people, and that's true.
So on most rosters.
Yeah, that's the case on most rosters. The fact that it is America's team, it does create more headlines than it would if it were a lesser team. But, you know, it's the NFL. Any story like that's going to break, and it just seems like the Cowboys
keep... So did that dude make it to camp? I mean, was he at camp when they cut him?
Yeah.
They just walked him out?
Yeah.
Yeah, I caught Jason Garrett's presser before they cut him. Like, he was late to the press conference yesterday because they were telling him about this incident, and they asked him right away, and he's just like, you know, we're going to review our options. Somebody asked if they might cut him, and he's like, you know, we might, we're going to... He was... pretty open to it.
The last thing they wanted on day one of camp was another off-field incident. I mean, they just had their press conference to open camp, and, you know, every question was about Zeke or, you know, Jordan Lewis, the kid at Michigan, some type of off-field incident. And what do you know, first day, here comes a news story. So here's Jason Garrett from yesterday on the decision to cut and get rid of Unlucky Whitehead.
Yeah, we made a decision to release Lucky. As I mentioned at the press conference, right after our walkthrough this morning, we're gathering information. And as we gathered more information on that particular situation and the conversations we had with Lucky about that particular situation, and then we put that in the context of his career with us over the last year or so, we just felt like the best decision for the Dallas Cowboys was to release him.
I don't know about his play, you know, the way he played. I mean, that guy played pretty good. That guy was okay.
Well, that
he was a special player. That's all. Special teams kind of guy, right?
Well, and again, when they drafted Ryan Switzer, when he was still available, he was a guy that had a high grade on the speedster and the, you know, short area quickness guy to North Carolina. That was going to be a tough make for Whitehead. You only keep so many receivers, and they've got Dez and Cole Beasley and, you know, Terrence Williams racing in parking lots at 4 a.m. Hey, can we hear from Dez Bryant, because there are some suggesting that Jason Garrett, you know, the allegation, well, they're kind of out of control. Does Jason Garrett have control of this team? Dez Bryant says, no. Coach is our coach.
Coach Garrett is a well-respected guy in this locker room. You know, this is just not, you know, it's not for, you know, media say it's real. You know,
We love the way Coach Garrett go about his business, and we respect that. That's why we want to play for him, and that's why we want to win for him.
So you hear that? That's why that guy should be the Bachelor. We know that right there.
By the way, I did see glimpses of the Bachelorette last night. And it looks like it's going to be, you know, she's the Bachelorette, is a young, beautiful black lady. She's gorgeous, having a great run here. And it looks like she's down to the final three. She's down to the final three, and she's a University of Texas graduate.
Is it good? Really?
I haven't seen but 30 seconds of it, but last night I saw her. I think she's going to choose this other brother.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Looks like it.
Well, they got to have a white guy left, though. Just
I think there's
right?
Two white dudes and a black dude.
Oh, I see. Is this like the setup Bachelor or Bachelorette?
It's got to be.
Of course it's got to be. Till they get Dez, I'm not watching. It doesn't matter.
I mean, I'd watch every episode of Dez as the Bachelor.
Everybody would. Nobody would miss an episode.
It'd be fantastic. Coming up later on, we'll hear from Dak Prescott and Jalen Smith. There's going to be a lot of eyes and spotlight on Jalen Smith, the linebacker, second-year man out of Notre Dame. Can he emerge as a potential player big time for the Cowboys on that defense?
How do they say he's doing? Is drop foot still there or peg leg or whatever he's got going?
They haven't hit the field yet. I mean, you'll get to start watching him now. The Cowboys will play in the Hall of Fame game coming up. I mean, you listen to Jerry Jones, he's going to be an impact player. You listen to people that cover the team, they're not sure. I mean, he's still battling that drop foot and the nerve issue in his leg.
I can't imagine that guy getting on the field and doing very much right now.
Well, that's what we got to see. That's what training camp will be about for Jalen Smith and the rest of the Cowboys. And we'll hear from him coming up and talk some football throughout the morning. Tom Herman recruiting, Lucky Whitehead unlucky. And we'll get into the rest of your Tuesday morning. 447-3776. Also on the Specs text line, 512-337-3776. Plenty to do on those fronts. We'll also dive into the baseball. Didn't mention in the update, but Adrian Beltre had four more hits last night. He's approaching 3,000. Which is pretty incredible. The Rangers got blanked. I don't even know what to say about Jose Altuve. He has put, George Springer tweaked his quad last night. The Astros are going without Carlos Correa right now. He's down with that thumb injury. Didn't look very major for Springer. He may miss a game or two. But Jose Altuve is batting over 500 in the month of July, and it's now July the 25th. So this is not a small sample size. His batting average now 365. He's putting up MVP numbers again for Altuve, and the Astros are just pounding the baseball on the road. I think their team batting average on the road is over 320.
Oh.
Over 320. They're averaging over 7 runs a game away from Minute Maid Park. They've been better on the road than they have at home. They're 36-12.
And they take bad teams and just destroy them.
They destroy their
pitching.
Yeah.
Well, bad teams just get hammered by them.
Yeah. I mean, they just mop it up. And this is where the Astros are inside a week to the trade deadline. They're gonna be in the postseason. They're gonna bash their way. They're historically good offensively, especially when they're healthy. And but you got to win in the postseason. That's what I keep saying. They're certainly built to win in the regular season because they're gonna beat up on bad teams. They're gonna pound you with that lineup. But when it comes time for postseason play, and you got to face Chris Sale, and you got to face David Price and the Red Sox, and you got to face everybody that's stocking up. Who you're going to see in the postseason, that great pitching staff in Cleveland, do you match up on the mound? And that's where the Astros are in a bit of a tight spot because you're not going to get to see Dallas Keuchel or Colin McHugh enough or any of these guys. Did the Astros make a move before the deadline? Not for now, because they're going to be in the postseason. It would be stacking up against the best teams in the American League come postseason time, because this is an offense that you'd like to cash in a World Series on because they're that good offensively. We'll talk about it. But I did see where Clayton Kershaw's down 4 to 6 weeks now for the Dodgers. That's a big deal. That adds to the speculation that maybe if Yu Darvish comes available, that the Dodgers would make a strong push. And the Dodgers have the number one farm system in baseball. They've got more top prospects than anybody in the game. If the Rangers wanted to begin the rebuild, that wouldn't be a bad trade partner to pluck a couple of their top prospects for Yu Darvish, who's a free agent at the end of the year. So we'll talk some trade deadline baseball. We'll talk plenty of football, obviously, and reset all the top stories. It's B&E on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260. Stream it on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Somebody here on the Specs text line alleging that the Bachelorette dated Kevin Durant while she was at Texas.
Huh. Who knew?
Cupcake.
I must have left her for an easier path to promised land.
Come on, man. He's one of the best players on the planet, for crying out loud. But yeah, he did join quite the team. Hey, by the way, did you hear this? Stephen A. Smith was on ESPN yesterday because that's where he works. So that would make sense. That's where you would hear him, is on ESPN.
Yep.
Screaming A. Smith, as some call him. He had this to say about this whole Kyrie Irving trade request that's kind of come out of left field and everyone's stunned by it. Here's what Stephen A. Smith said about what he's hearing from the LeBron James camp.
I had sources in LeBron James camp literally tell me, and I'm quoting Charles, if Kyrie Irving was in front of LeBron James right now, LeBron James would be tempted, quote, to beat his ass, end quote.
A big old guy just beating Kyrie. Can you see him beating that little dude down as big as LeBron James is?
You got knocked the f*** out, man.
I mean, seriously?
And now there's a report that Kyrie Irving's camp believes LeBron James' camp is one who leaked the story that he requested a trade. Oh, yeah, this ship is sinking in Cleveland, or at least appears to be sinking with the Cavaliers. So,
yeah, well, Derrick Rose says, I'll go play with LeBron. I'll do it. It's his hand raised real quick.
Yeah, the rest of the league would be fine with that.
Sure they would be.
Yeah, but wait, trade Kyrie Irving for Derrick Rose? Perfectly
fine.
Beat
up old war horse.
Yeah, exactly. We'll see how this plays out. I also saw that Bill Simmons on Twitter was predicting or hearing that there's a Carmelo Anthony to Oklahoma City trade in the works.
Ugh.
Yeah, the Oklahoma City's already added Paul George. They've got Russell Westbrook, the MVP, and Mr. Triple-Double, and there's report that Carmelo Anthony.
Dude, somebody has to play defense. They just do. Somebody on that team, it's going to be 2-on-3 or 2-on-5 because one of those guys had to play defense.
Well, Paul George plays pretty good defense, and Russell Westbrook's an active defender when he wants to be. You know, Carmelo's not a defender by any stretch. Yeah, these Carmelo stories, obviously he wants out of New York. He wants to be in Houston, if you believe those reports, but that deal has not worked out yet. As New York hired a new general manager who may be, you know, reassessing things, at least getting his ducks in a row before he makes a trade of that magnitude. But yeah, the Kyrie Irving story, just as bizarre as it can be. And that whole Cleveland thing, just, it seemed toxic from the beginning, and that's why I was making the crazy claim before the free agency opened. What if Dan Gilbert actually traded LeBron? I mean, because all this stuff didn't make sense. The general manager was out. They haven't done much and been almost no activity on the acquisition front. And, you know, now it just seems sour. I mean, remember when the story came out from Chicago about the Jimmy Butler said he was hearing from Kyrie Irving that you don't want to come here? Remember, Kyrie Irving, Jimmy Butler nixed a potential trade to Cleveland that was being worked. And then, because according to people close to him, that Kyrie Irving was telling him, you don't want to be here. This place is toxic, and everyone's jumping off the ship. So, yeah, Cleveland could be in the midst of a
Well, it's okay, but LeBron still has to play next year.
That's why.
And you can still get to the championship by being on his team. You can do that for one more year, but Kyrie wants out now. And he's probably going to...
Well, it's just why LeBron would want to whip his rear. What are you doing?
I'm not leaving this year.
We got one more year to make a run. Kevin Love's over here. We're still a pretty good team.
Yes. Yes, they are still a pretty good team. Now this is where LeBron will be kind of ticked off. Because if he loses Kyrie, which he's going to now to Derrick Rose's heir, for sure, it's just a bizarre situation. Now he's going to be at a place that he is going to be having to hold up the whole thing. He really will be without Kyrie. That's a lot of time, that's a lot of points, and that's a lot of minutes that LeBron James will have to log. He already logs a lot of minutes during the course of a season.
I'm pretty excited about this. Like, you know, the East sucks.
Well,
as
I am
it
too.
Is.
I'm excited for the East too.
It's going to open up the East a little bit, but really my hope is we're going to see like original Cleveland LeBron back. Since he doesn't have, this is the first time in a while he doesn't have like superstar players around him. I mean, look, Kevin Love's a solid player, but obviously Kyrie is far and away the second best player on that team. If it's just LeBron and K-Love, I hope LeBron goes full LeBron beast mode from back in the day. That'd be kind of fun.
Are you scoring like 50?
Oh, yeah.
And 60?
I don't know if he still has that in him with all those miles on his body, but
18 rebounds.
Boy, if he's capable of anything close to that, that's fun to watch.
Well, and just because he's requested a trade doesn't mean they have to trade him.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And if you do trade him, I mean, you should be able to bring back some pretty good players. I mean, it's not like you're going to trade Kyrie Irving for rack of balls or something. I mean, you're going to try to get something for the 25-year-old all-star and, you know, one of the better point guards and offensive point guards in the league. But we'll see where that plays out moving forward. But, yeah, the soap opera drama of the NBA, as we say every time, you know, Kevin Durant, Golden State, just sitting back watching all this happen.
Oh, man, they're on vacation. They're just loving
it. Whatever.
Having camps, going golfing, wondering what the other teams are doing to try to beat them, while they just stay pat and can't wait till practice opens up where they can get better and better. And year number two with Kevin Durant.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if Kyrie Irving can. I don't know. Could San Antonio actually muster a package that would even entice Cleveland? I don't think so, because you're not trading Kawhi. I mean, I don't think. Would they consider trading LaMarcus Aldridge and putting LaMarcus as part of a package for Kyrie Irving? You know,
I would. You're going to need a big man. Eventually, you're going to need a big man, a big body in the middle somewhere.
Yes. I mean,
Gasol is there for three more years for, like, whatever they paid for him to stick around.
They got his overall number. Look, they like Pau. He's a skilled big that, you know, that's the kind of player that Pop likes to build around, very intelligent player. But, yeah, he's 38 years old, so I don't know what he's bringing. But, you know, LaMarcus is still a piece that, you know, is tradable. Kyrie Irving, LaMarcus Aldridge, is there some synergy there? But what you'd like to have is Kyrie Irving, LaMarcus Aldridge, and Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah, the Cavs already have a softy big man. They don't need another softy big man on their team.
Yeah, that's Kevin Love, who likes to shoot. And look, I do think LaMarcus Aldridge is better in the pivot and better on the post than Kevin Love is. I mean, he's a guy who can, you know, create some attention and on a team with LeBron James. And that's the question with
Tristan. I mean, they got big bodies here.
Tristan's busy house shopping with Chloe.
They gotta get busy, isn't she with child? Or is that rumor?
I think that's rumor. Oh,
is that rumor?
Has that been made official?
No, it has not.
Whenever the Cavs went on a run, she was with child, and they'd start losing games.
Where's Derek Jeter? Where's my god kid at? I mean, what?
He's trying to buy the Marlins.
I mean, is she staying? Hannah, does she stay pregnant for like a year and a half or something? Is that
the
incubation period for her? Seems long.
9 months gestation period.
It seems long.
Takes a while for horses to be born.
Oh, man.
It's not quite the same,
she
huh?
She talks to horses. She's not going to birth.
No, I hope that would be just weird.
No, actually, she makes horses talk.
She can make
Anna
a horse
Davis,
talk,
Derek
yes.
Jeter's wife. All right, so a lot out there. We'll dive back in. We've got Tom Herman recruiting his tail off with he and his staff. Number one receiver in the state of Texas is committed to Texas. Brennan Eagles will reset at the Cowboys, and Texans headed to training camp. And we've got plenty of baseball on the brain with the trade deadline boring down. Four hits for Adrian Beltre. I'm fascinated by both sides of these Texas teams, because you're down to the wire here. You're six days away from the non-waiver trade deadline. You can still make trades, but obviously after next Monday, players have to clear waivers to be traded at that point. So, you know, the Rangers are in a spot with John Daniels where he still wants to believe in his team, and maybe John Daniels is too involved because he sees a team that can still make a run, and I haven't seen it. I haven't seen consistent baseball enough from the Rangers game to game, week to week, to believe that they're a real contender in the American League. Yet their farm system needs overhauled, and you have pieces to attack. Will John Daniels do it? The flip side, the Astros are 66-33. They're running away with the American League, but are they built to win in the postseason? Do they stack up with the best teams that you have to face to go win a World Series? And that's what Jeff Luhnow has to decide here in the closing days. And, you know, there's a side of Jeff Luhnow who I think looks at it and says, look, if we have Dallas Keuchel, Lance McCullers, you know, a healthy Colin McHugh, Brad Peacock, Mike Fiers, all these guys, we're okay. We're good. We may need to go out a bullpen arm, but we can stack up. With this offense, we can stack up with anybody, you know, in a short series or a seven-game series. But you better be right, because this offense is historically good. And you'd like to cash that in and go try to beat the best teams and put yourself in a chance to win a World Series. While the Cubs are now talking about Justin Verlander, you know, Dodgers are looking to acquire Yu Darvish and maybe others. You better not just sit it out and hope that this team you built can go win a World Series, because it'd be great to win 110 or 112 or 115 games, but that'll mean nothing if you don't go cash this thing in.
Or you're just getting it ready for the following year. Or do you think the Astros are
still? Well, I think they're going to be good for a number of years.
Okay.
But, I mean, this is not a short window, I don't think, for the Astros, because their best players and their nucleus are young.
That's right.
But at the same time, we've talked about this clubhouse chemistry and the way that they play together, and there's just an attitude on this team that you don't know from year to year if you've got that. You don't know from year to year how that chemistry comes together and injuries, you know. But yes, I mean, that's the roll of the dice. That's why I'm fascinated by what both John Daniels and what both Jeff Luhnow are going to do here in the next 6 days. How aggressive will Luhnow be, and how willing will John Daniels be to say, you know what, this is just not our year, and we can use these chips to kind of rebuild for the long haul and not fool ourselves into thinking that we're really a contender right now. I'm in. I'm intrigued. I'm not sure. I'm not sure which side. You'll know by their actions. They're not going to tell you anything. You'll just have to sit back and watch to see what the Texas Rangers
do. Well, I think
we
know who the contenders are for sure. It's the Red Sox, of course. It's going to be the Astros, the Dodgers. I mean, if the Dodgers end up with Hugh Darvish, I mean, Katie barred the door there. I mean,
that's crazy. That Clayton Kershaw injury is scary because, remember, Clayton missed most of last year with a herniated disc in his back.
And he hasn't been a great playoff pitcher anyway, correct?
Oh, no. Yes. I mean, he's a mess.
He's
already one of the greatest pitchers of all time, and he's not even halfway through his career, you wouldn't think, by his age. But, yes, postseason, you know, he's been pretty good, not great. And the Dodgers, as an organization, have not gotten there. But if you're an Astro fan, I think you have to project that you're going to see the Dodgers in the World Series. You know, the Cubs.
Sure.
Don't forget about the Cubs, obviously, because they're starting to play with better. They acquired Jose Quintana, and they also are talking about Justin Verlander. They're talking with the Dodgers, with the Tigers, about a deal for Verlander to and they would have to absorb some of that contract, but they've got the money to do that.
Well, so far for the Astros, then they do need another guy to pitch. I mean, what you've seen from the guys that have been injured is not very good for the last couple of times they've taken the mound. And plus, you don't know where Keuchel. You haven't seen Keuchel come back yet.
Right. You haven't seen Keuchel in a month. He was unhittable until the injury.
But you don't know what you get now.
So can he find that sharpness and be that good come postseason time? Those are all the questions, and that's the beauty of being a.
But you have a lot of time. That's great to be 16, 17 games up and have that kind of time.
They're in the postseason. They're already any trade they make will be done to build for the postseason for a matchup against the Indians or the Red Sox or a third starter. Sonny Gray is the one that makes the most sense for me, and he's the one from Oakland. But at the same time, how much do you give up to get him? Do you trade within your division? Or do you just try to solidify that bullpen and make a move that direction? We'll see. It'll be very intriguing in the next 6 days how it plays out. I did hear Richard Justice on Chad and Kevin yesterday. That was a terrific conversation with the MLB.com writer and longtime baseball writer. He said he thinks the Rangers won't be sellers. He doesn't think John Daniels will be able to walk into that locker room and tell those guys he's pulling the plug. Because you trade Yu Darvish, you trade Lucroy, you've pretty much told everyone
right. We're
mailing it in. And that's hard to do when you got a guy like Adrian Beltre in that locker room. You know, competitors like that who still believe they're a good 10-day
stretch.
Well,
he'll be gone. He'll get 3,000 hits, and he'll be gone anyway.
No, I don't know.
Bye. Bye. Yes, get him 3,000 hits and then send him packing.
You know, what's his number? He had four more hits last night, four knocks.
Seven away.
Seven away, E. He'll get it, so then trade him.
Red Sox would love a third baseman the caliber of Adrian Beltre.
And home run hitter? He can still hit it.
Middle of that order.
Have a little band box there in Fenway Park.
And he's a gold glove third baseman as well. Which that's the position that's been a black hole.
Say
for
bye
the Red
to
Sox.
Him. Say goodbye.
All right, Benny on the horn. Well, I mean, I'm big on rebuilding when it's time and understanding your windows. And right now, the Rangers are not a championship level club. They're under 500. Their bullpen's a wreck. They strike out a lot, and their system's not stocked with young prospects ready, especially on the pitching mound, to come help them in the very near future.
Can you imagine him playing in Boston at third base for about three more years, just batting up against the Green Monster? He will be just.
He's under contract for this year and next, and then so that's what the Red Sox. But again, I think that's you want to talk about an interesting conversation in the world of baseball and in the Metroplex if they were to trade Adrian Beltre. Crazy, he's the heart and soul of that team. All right, we'll come back. B&E on the Horn. It's 104.9. It's AM 1260. We stream it on the La Horn app and at hornfm.com.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Guy on the Specs text line says the Astros need Zach Britton. The Baltimore lefty shut him down last weekend. Already have solid starters. Assuming healthiness, need lefty bullpen help. I'm kind of on that train too. Here's my thing with Britton. Is he healthy? Remember, he missed 2 months with an elbow. That is a scary person to start giving up prospects for. And he hasn't been, even in his rehab starts, I mean, look, this is a guy that saved 55 consecutive games. He set an American League record. Yes, if he's healthy, he's absolutely all in. He's this year's Andrew Miller, if you can get a hold of him. And if you have he and Chris Devensky and Ken Giles at the end of baseball games, Brad Peacock even, who I think will end up in the bullpen when the rotation gets healthy, and Peacock's got bullpen-type stuff with that slider and you know, the three-pitch combination he brings. He's been a godsend for the Astros in their rotation. But, you know, Britton, if healthy, would be unbelievable. He'd be a game-changer. But do you trust it? Do you trust that his elbow is 100%? Because a year when he set this record, I mean, he's pounding the bottom of the zone. He's throwing a lot of ground balls. He's just dominating since he's come back. And even in his rehabs, the ball's up. It's elevated. He's not throwing the ground balls that he was. So that's a concern. And that's another piece of, you know, bad timing for the Astros, that You know, boy, if you had another couple of weeks to kind of watch Zach Britton, that might be a guy. But you don't have that luxury. You have 6 days on that, and that's where we'll see what Jeff Luhnow pulls off. I do think the Astros will make a move, but what it is, it's hard to project where they are. Because, look, they're about to have an issue. I mean, Dallas Keuchel comes back this weekend. He's going to start in Detroit. Colin McHugh's back. Lance McCullers is in your rotation. Mike Fiers has pitched fantastic for the last 2 months of the year. I just mentioned Brad Peacock. When Keuchel comes back and you get healthy, who goes out of the rotation will become a question for the Astros. So I think they have enough pitching, but I do think they need a lefty reliever. Because the one thing you've seen from the Astros in the last couple of weeks, they put Francis Martez, their 21-year-old hard-throwing right-hander, into the bullpen, and he's actually been really good coming out of the pen. So he's another guy that you can project as a late-inning guy in a big spot come September and October.
Hey, for the Dallas Cowboys, we're talking about Lucky Whitehead E and the fact that, you know, he got cut yesterday. How do you get a court date and not be served and not be arrested? I mean, that's his version of it. I mean, how do they get you for missing a court appearance when –
Well, it was just a misdemeanor. So you have, you know, whenever you get a traffic ticket, you've got until X day to appear to, you know, either pay the fine.
It's the same thing?
Right.
Similar? Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it's a petty larceny misdemeanor to which he was supposed to show up in court or, you know, whatever. He plead guilty and pay the fine.
Right. Or pay a fine.
But he ignored it on July the 6th, and that date came and went. And so when he didn't show up for that, the warrant was issued, and now he's... You know, they're looking for him. And now he says that wasn't him, obviously.
Wasn't me.
Says he wasn't there. Says he wasn't, told his agent I wasn't there. I wasn't even in
Virginia. I got a plane ticket to tell you. I got a plane ticket.
I was on a plane when the alleged burglary or larceny, petty larceny happened at a convenience store in Prince William.
Okay, I'm going on the side of the cowboy this time. I'm going to think that a guy who's making over $500,000 a year, I don't care if he's been in the league 1 year, 3 years, this is his first year. He's not going to do. I know if he's a legitimate hood rat, he'll do it. He's just going to do it out of hood ratism. But I'm going to say Lucky did not do this. Just no. No. He's not going to take a chance.
Man. Maybe he wanted some Milanos or some cookies or something.
The Milanos are expensive. The Milanos cost a lot. They're not cheap cookies.
Maybe he didn't have enough to buy them. He wanted to snag some.
But you can't. But they said it's like $200 worth of stuff. Where do you hide $200 worth of stuff from a convenience store? Where did you just come in the middle of this? When was this? When did this happen? What time of the year?
Late June.
What is the most expensive thing?
It's hot. How could you get anything? How would you hide $200 worth of anything on you, E?
What is the most expensive thing you can buy?
In a store, in a convenience store?
Hold on, you ever been to like Bucky's? They got all kinds of expensive stuff in that place.
Yeah, but it wasn't a Bucky's, was it?
I don't know.
A little statue or something? Some statues in there?
I don't know what he took.
Some belt buckles?
Saying he was taking some beaver nuggets on his way out of there.
What do you do?
You got me. You got me. Lucky Whitehead, no longer a cowboy. We'll get you
frozen
details.
Frozen dinners?
Tom Herman, recruiting his tail off. Get you details. Got our Coach's Corner coming up. Your chance to win our copy for today of the Dave Campbell's Texas Football Magazine with some Tom Herman trivia. By the way, we're going to get to see Tom Herman tonight. We've got a station event down at the stadium with a lot of our great Longhorn partners and people we work with their Longhorns. So we'll be down there, and I can't say when, but I'm pretty certain Tom Herman's going to be on with Chad and Kevin this afternoon because they will be broadcasting live from the North End Zone from 3 to 7. So
Tom Herman's with those guys?
Yeah, I think there's a good opportunity to hear from the coach, and we'll be down there with him. So that's coming up later this afternoon. It's a busy Tuesday. Glad you're with us. It's going to be 102 degrees. That's not a shocker. It's going to be fun. We'll reset your headlines, Coach's Corner. A lot to go on. It's B&E on 104.9. On AM 1260, streaming on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.